then you shouldn't get a vote until the 45th.
Yeah, bad training. Well, it isn't that we shouldn't get married, it's just that we need to really compensate. And we need to compensate by getting lots of good training. And really knowing what we're getting into and getting involved with when it comes to getting married. And seeing marriage as a real responsibility, not as a license for sense gratification. Okay, let me do some things here. Okay, so Raghunath Brahmachari life.
Yes. So
stay Brahmachari.
Yes, I would like to do that. I'd like to do that just to make sure that for last event was some real time of purification. Maybe since they joined, but for last 2 years I'm feeling.
Is this all right with you if I'm recording this?
Yeah,
tell me when you don't want.
Okay, I think it's fine, yeah. So, yeah, for the last 2 years I feel quite satisfied and happy in Brahmacharya Ashram. But obviously two Brahmacharis will get married now. So I just want to kind of how to remain satisfied and happy in Brahmacharya Ashram. And also how to develop it, you know, that's the second question, that to make sure that I am.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone was just writing me, telling me that they were helping some young devotees with organizing their weddings. I told them that I'd like to hear sometime when the young devotees are organizing taking sannyas instead of getting married. But that's going to be rare. Yeah, if someone's well absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then they'll be satisfied, and that not necessarily feel that they have to succumb to the urge of associating with a member of the opposite sex, or getting entangled in all the complications that come along with married life, especially family life, which are not which make for much more difficulties or obstacles in advancing in Krishna consciousness as well. So better if you can keep life simple and just concentrate on being engaged full time in service and giving all energy to Krishna. Also, Prabhupada's, I'd encourage a lot of boys, particularly, if they could, it was ideal if they stay Brahmachari, dedicate themselves to service and study and purification. That's where all their energy goes.
I feel like I've done lots of service since we joined, but I haven't done much study, so I feel a bit little lack of that.
Then it won't last. It won't last. Just doing service and not studying. If someone isn't associating closely with Srimad Bhagavatam and our teachings, and his intelligence will not be strong enough to overcome his mind and the urges of the senses, he won't be able to control those. You can't become a brahmacharya just by wanting to be. You have to do the right thing. And so studying the scriptures, being fixed in the process of Krishna consciousness and in the teachings. So those teachings are set for our mind, and they help us overcome our lower nature. So then you can be, but otherwise, if you don't, at least an hour a day, morning program, evening program, being very strict, chanting very good quality rounds and so on. Brahmacharya just means simple life, no possessions, no no big plans, just depending on Krishna. Something else on that? Just a minute.
How much association I need to get from other brahmacharis
as much as possible. Sadhu sangha, like-minded association, is very, very important. And even if you don't have so much here, then you should have some telephone devotees, Skype devotees, be in contact with other devotees, either down in London, and Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. So if one has like-minded association, then one can achieve the perfection of one's endeavors. Yeah, you may not have so much brahmacharya association here, but there's always ways and means. Brahmacharya, one is always striving and serving Brahman or Krishna. That's brahmacharya. Something else?
In terms of expanding brahmacharya ashram, what do you think it takes in the present day?
Preaching, preach, new devotees come, and they should all get basic brahmacharya training. That's what Varnashram is about. So what it means to live in an ashram, to just fully dedicate oneself to Srila Prabhupada's mission, rising early, doing austerity, going out on Sankirtan, and inculcate that into new devotees, new guests who come. Now, this is not trying to live a comfortable life of avoiding austerities. You can't make spiritual advancement if you avoid austerity. So everything is based on tapasya. Brahmacharya ashram is tapasya. Yogrihastha ashram is tapasya. So you expand it when the new devotees come, when they join. Get them involved. And then there's the brahmachari who's here for training, for grihastha ashram, and then the brahmachari who stays for life. A lifelong commitment, yeah. So stay in that brahmachari ashram for life.
Is there some difference in training of these two categories?
No. The training was the same. In Gurukula, they would. The way Prabhupada describes it, everyone was trained the same, but it was at a certain age that those who wanted to get married, then they left the Gurukula, and those who stayed, they continued. So that's where it starts to be different, is that once one has made a lifelong commitment, and that commitment has been recognized by other devotees, then from there on in, he gets further training, but it's not different training.
Should be some stage when one makes that decision.
Say that again.
Should there be some stage or some point when one makes that decision?
Well, it's certainly good to make the decision, because for brahmacharya life, the austerity is celibacy. And you can't, unless you make the decision to be celibate, you can't expect the modes of nature to make the decision for you. So, at a certain point, probably no longer than someone's been around for 10 years, should be at least, or before they get too old, 30, 35, because if you don't make the decision to remain brahmachari for life, if you change your mind, then it gets too old. These things, grihastha ashram, having children, these aren't some things that you do at any stage of life. They're biologically connected. So once one makes a decision, then it sticks to that. Sticks to that for life. So brahmachari life is not just about celibacy, it's also about a certain lifestyle. For the most part, except for like rare grihasthas, like they want to become independent, financially independent, lifestyle independent, and so on, and in that way practice Krishna consciousness. You see that there's a shortage of grihasthas who remain full-time devotees and are dependent. They're dependent on the results of the preaching. When there is, there is. When there isn't, there isn't. Just accept Krishna's mercy. You're not worried about financial security. point in worrying about it anyway, because if you're not destined to get it, you're not going to get it, no matter how much you worry about it. So brahmacharya life means complete dependency, no independence, no possessions, no freedom in decision making. He just lives as a servant of the spiritual master, lives as a servant of the ashram, and accepts Krishna's mercy. When there's something to eat, he eats. When there's nothing to eat, then he's happy. Anything else?
One more thing regarding the expanding Brahmacharya ashram. What is better to focus, like in terms of strictness, because if you make it more stricter, you probably have a...
Make it more what?
Stricter.
Strict?
Stricter, then you have like maybe less people, but more cooperative and more sincere, maybe to practice Brahmacharya principles, so you can have more people, but maybe less cooperative.
I don't know. Every ashram is strict. It's strict because it has its own rules. And when we follow those rules, you don't need to make it stricter. You don't need to make up new rules. But the people who are there have to follow the accepted rules. We don't need to make anything up. To be stricter, it just needs that this is the standard, and this is what people follow.
One thing seems to be a difference in some places in Brahmacharya training nowadays, that one is to engage a person as soon as one comes, to engage a person according to their propensity and what they like to do, and try to cultivate them with that. And also
it's not the type of Brahmacharya I read about. Brahmacharya is not the propensity. Before he engages propensity, Brahmacharya should learn to do what's required, to do the needful, to do what, learn how to do those things that he may not necessarily like to do. To learn basic things. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasadanta Guru Hichan Acharya Guru Nitya. Should learn how to beg. That's what Shastra states. Should learn how to go out. And you should learn how to beg on behalf of a spiritual master. Why? So that he learns what it means to be humble before he starts engaging his propensities. I don't know. I haven't been able to be engaged in my propensities for 40 years. I don't know. Was Prabhupada being engaged in his propensities by having to get on a ship and get a heart attack and deal with so many young people with different ideas and accept so many hardships and austerities? Prabhupada's propensity was to write and translate books, and that was his mission. But you have to accept so many other things. Why? Because it was the order of a spiritual master. It was Lord Chaitanya's mission. And someone will walk in a temple and wants to be engaged in the propensities. Let's send it home. That's his propensity. Okay, Brahmacharya Ashram Vijayanagara.